My Sunday school lesson this morning told me how much that God loves me. And He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world, that through Him, if you would believe on Him, that you would have everlasting life. That's a great love. That's a wonderful love. So excited. This is a beautiful morning after all the storms that we had yesterday, and God spared us. We asked some of you, and if you got blown away or if you got floated away, and you're all here today, so you must have made it fine. And we thank God for His mercy on us. Just ask you to all be very much in prayer this morning. Brother Robert Martin, I know most of you know him, is going to be coming to bring the message. We're looking forward to what the Lord is going to send through him. And our spring revival starts tonight. And I can't wait to get to hear what God is going to send through Brother James McGahey and Brother Brody. And lost person, this morning, beginning today, tonight through Wednesday night, these services are just for you. So we love you. We just ask that each one be obedient to what God wants them to do today. I want to take this opportunity to open the doors of Silver City Baptist Church for the reception of members. If you're here, the Lord has saved you. We'd invite you to come under three headings. If you'd like to come as a candidate for baptism with an experience of grace, we'd invite you to come. If you're here, if you have your letter with you from a sister church of the same faith, the same order, we'd invite you to come. If you're here, if you've been saved, and you would like to come under the watch care, to your letter could be obtained from a sister church of the same faith and the same order, we invite you to come. So while we sing, the doors of Silver City Baptist Church are open, and let's fellowship one with another. Let's really, really show each other how much we love them. I might need to go to the back of the church and tell somebody that this morning. So let's just worship, and the doors of Silver City Church are open.
tell you, that singing is divine. Shirley and I go lots of places now that I'm not pastoring. We hear lots of singing, but this just about tops it off. And I'm proud of that for you people here. It's a blessing to be here today. After the inclement weather, I'm glad to see this sunshine where we come to church. It don't take God long to show me who's in charge.
That's right. Yeah.
Brother, he got my attention. Good to see all of you. I'm proud of your health and your church and your pastor. I love this dear pastor. And I noticed in his Bible, he's got an obituary for several of his loved ones placed in different places out in the market. I view his grandparents and great-grandparents. And they were all special people. Today I want to share some scripture on this Palm Sunday. There's not many pastors in Little Vista preach on Palm Sunday. Easter coming up, revival beginning. But old Tim's such an humble boy, and I reckon he must be in desperate need of some help. He'll just about use anybody. I have to confess to you that I've been married a long time. I think it's somewhere near 50 years. I shouldn't know right in a minute, but anyhow, Shirley and I have our little differences, and when we try to get ready to go to church, she does my clothes and picks out my ties. And I didn't like the way things were going. She got me a pair of socks that looked like I've got German measles. And we kind of had a few words on the way to church, another church up in this area, but there at the crossroads, there was an old mule standing there on the side of the road. We'd had our little friction that morning, a little disagreement, and we got up to the stop sign. That old mule looked like one of those big-eared, lazy mules. He was just standing there, and I said, "By the way, lady," I said, "is that some of your kid people standing there?" And she said, "Yes, sir, that sure is, by marriage." I learned to leave that lady alone. If you have your Bibles with you, and you want to, you can read with me Psalm 116. And I love to see you take a scripture for revival. We need to have a scripture that we go over thoroughly and study as we go into revival. Read and learn. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," you know, the psalmist said. And all of us need a lamp to guide. In the 116th Psalm, I want to start in verse number 1. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death have passed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And we read in the scriptures here at the heading, it said this is David praising God for all of his supplications that he had answered. Now listen in verse number 8. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." That little verse right there says a world full of good news to us. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars." Listen to this verse. If you don't have a text for revival this week starting tonight, remember this verse. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits towards me?" You know, all of us talk about benefits if we're out looking for employment. I hear lots of people my age try to get on with the school system. They said they've got good benefits. And they're looking for insurance to help cover these rising hospital costs. Everybody's interested in benefits, but this psalmist said, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" He said, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." Listen to this pretty verse. All of you heard this. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death to be saved. I thought of Tim's grandmother and granddaddy. I remember when they were still alive, I used to stop by there and deliver LPS, and she'd come out and me to fill out her check card and sign her name. Such a beautiful person of faith they were. No wonder God's blessed old Tim. He had a good foundation. Somebody say, well, how can I prepare myself for revival? We start tonight. Remember what Ezra did in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10? It said, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, that's what Ezra did when he prepared himself for that great endeavor of leading God's people back to their homeland. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. How much heart preparation can we find if we're just constantly busy? The Bible said, be still and know that I am God.
That's right.
And we need to stop ourselves, still in our tracks, and find our scriptures and lay the Bible on our lap and hold it to our bosom. You know, every night before I go to sleep, I try to press God's Word to my bosom and thank God for His Word, His precious redemption that He's given me. And we need to remember how Ezra prepared his heart. He sought the law of the Lord, and he was doing it. That's the secret. Are we doing the law of the Lord, the work of the Lord, the scriptures of the Lord Jesus Christ? And said, teach in Israel statutes and judgments. How good that is. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. Now, we look at death so awkward. It's just a sleep, a sweet interlude in our life where we go to sleep for a little while. And then one day the trumpet will sound and it'll be revelry then. It'll be time to get up. Time to get up in the morning. You know, Sir Winston Churchill was a strange man. He drank a good bit. And he was a leader, but he had his whiskey problem. And one night this lady saw him at a party, and she wasn't nothing to look at. And she said, Winston Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, you're right, madam. He said, you're ugly. And said, in the morning I'll wake up sober and you'll still be ugly. I wonder today, as we think about our lives, if we don't need to seek out God's will in our life and see the precious saints and say, leave us. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. What is a saint? According to the Bible, it's a saved person. It's someone that's been saved by the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for saving us so many years ago. 61 years ago, we got saved down at Cold Mountain. As I came by this morning, I looked that way, just a stone from where I was saved. And the first revival in that little church down there after it was built, I was saved by God's marvelous grace. And you know what happened then? He delivered my soul from death. I don't have to worry about that death. That death won't have no power over me except just a sleep, a short sleep. So He has delivered my soul from death and mine eyes from tears and my feet from falling. God truly is wonderful. I remember what Frances Havergal said once. She was a poet, and they went to her bedside near the end of her life, and they asked her if there's anything they could do for her. And Frances said, yes, write your Bible. And so they began to look. She said, turn to Isaiah 42 and 6. And they found that verse. She said, I want to hear that read aloud, audible. And so the man that was there read the Bible to her family member. It says, I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people. I have called thee, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee. Called, held, and kept. And she said, I can go to heaven on that.
Yeah.
Oh, today, let me ask you something. Have you been called? He will hold your hand.
Amen.
He will keep you. He will keep that you've committed unto Him against that day. God will bless you as you enter the last few miles of the journey. And He'll keep us close and forever be there for us. Said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant for the people, for a light of the Gentiles. When everything else is gone and all the voices fade, that we can see nothing but the power of God around us, like we did in them terrible times of storm over the last couple of days. How did we turn our hearts to Him? Oh, how I pray for the people, our little families, we just bitch on the phone. We've got one telephone, it still works. And it's a $4 telephone that we got at Walmart. And it'll work when the power's off. I don't know how that works. But all the rest of these other digitals and all that go dead. So the phone still works. And boy, I tell you, sure there was a bitch on that thing. Checking on those children, checking on her mother, checking on all the grandchildren, won't know where all of them was. I wonder today, as we think about spiritually speaking, are you checking on your children? Are you before the throne of God on your hands and face, praying for your children and yet on more generations, that they allow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You young men, it's got strength and power in your being. Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the everlasting truth of God, and they can be saved, and they will be saved. So if we endured those storms, we were quietly trying to pray and find out everything we could about our families. That's what we check on. I tell you, I've got one old niece that's in the hospital now. She was a Italian. Her daddy was from Dawsonville, Roger Italian. She was born with her mother carried her while she had German measles. She was born with very severe physical defects. And she right now is in the Piedmont Hospital near the end of the way. The doctors say there's nothing else they can do for her. Heart trouble, little fella can't ever see. And they're trying to decide, the doctors are trying to get the family to decide about unplugging the machines on the little girl. And she's just about the same age as my daughter Angie. And in that difficult time, and I was just thinking about how sweet, that precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of the saint. You know what I believe about that little girl? She don't have a mentality, no much. She never spoken an intelligent word. She can see out of one eye a little and express herself a little with her emotions. But I believe that little girl is as innocent as a 3 months old baby.
Amen. Yeah.
I believe that little girl, when she closes her eyes and God calls her home, she'll open those eyes to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All the beauty of glory itself. And the first face you'll see for sure is the Lord Jesus Christ after the death angel carries her home. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What are we going to do about all these benefits? I read this lately where it talks about in Philippians 6:1, I want you to read it and study that. It talks about being confident of this very thing. How much confidence can you have today? Oh, how young people, I don't see how they make it as well as they do. Who can they place confidence in if not church people? Did you see that on television just lately about one of the biggest states in the United States, the governor just had to step down? Oh, he paid too much for the whistle, didn't he?
Yeah.
Little boy gave her $10 for a little whistle, and he broke it. One of these little wooden whistles like we used to make. Me and Roger remember making it out of a poplar twig, and it whistled. And the little boy gave all the change he had for the little whistle. In just a few days, it dried up and wouldn't make a sound. And somebody told him, said, you paid too much for the whistle. And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe people today in politics, in church circles, or giving paying too much to Satan for his little toys. They just last for a little while. They don't endure here. They're passed away. So think about it today with us. The beautiful scripture, thou hast delivered my soul from death, and my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. There's come a time when we won't have to weep over these sick folks. And we won't have to weep over the wayward people. We'll be separated from forever from them. And go home and be with the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorious kingdom. I appreciate him. He's always showed respect. As we get older, sometimes these younger folks will sort of forget you if you're not careful and don't try to keep your steps clean and watch your speech and not say too much, they'll forget you. But old Tim just always been about the same with me, and I love him for that. God bless you. What's the scripture for today now when you get back to work next week? Back at school, back at work, what was it, 116th Psalm? And what was one of the good verses in that 116th Psalm? If that verse number 8 is not a good one, I don't know where one is. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Been delivered from death. What about that? You know, he's been removed from that list. We're alive. We're saved. or an angel in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has written it there, and He'll call that name out at the end, and we will answer. They'll raise the dead, these mortal bodies that have slept. He'll raise them from their sleep and join them again with their soul. And the glory of God will be all over every place. Every evil bound, every tongue will confess. That's what the glory of the resurrection is, when this body is made new in the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we live forever. We begin that new life. Won't that be wonderful? Thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I just saw today, coming up the road, how many houses we passed that we had experiences with where bitter tears of sorrow blistered the cheeks of loved ones that we loved while we passed through at Oak Grove and Zion Hill and about 10 other churches. Oh, how beautiful God is today. And what we were remembering for the Lord, for all of His benefits, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. To seek it. You know what hide and go seek means? That means looking out, watching out for somebody. Seek until you find them. What are we going to do about God's Word? Said Ezra, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. All of us need to be seeking. And you know that we pray until we have tears on our face for lost souls, we'll not ever see much of the revival. When our hearts are moved in such a way that we're just crying to God in tears for the lost world, then we will see Him saved. I'll give you the middle verse in the Bible, according to people that study the Bible a lot. The middle verse in the Bible, just across in 118 there, just look across the page, and you'll find chapter 118 and verse 8. This is the middle verse in the Bible between Genesis and Revelation. The middle verse in the Bible, what about that? It said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen. While we've lost confidence in lots of things, He said it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Amen. And lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy path. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, how great God is and how He answers our prayer. Now we need to love Him. What about that? It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. We've got to support our people, somebody they can put confidence in. And if we church folks are not going to live a life that's worthy of people having respect for us and confidence in us, then where will they turn, please tell me. I watch in the realm of politics and in government and see people that's going straight, paying too much for the whistle, and there won't be any sound coming from it in just a few months, it'll all be over. And our confidence is forever ruined in people like that. Oh, how good it is we trust in the Lord. He said that it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. What about trust in the Lord? Isn't that precious? I remember that night when I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. Just a little crumpled up 11-year-old boy there in the altar told me, and I don't guess I had a penny in my pocket and I didn't need one, thank God.
Yeah.
It's not bought with price or money.
Right.
And I didn't need one, but they're crumpled in prayer and tears and the old saints of God standing around. They didn't have a whole lot back then, but they had the Lord and they had time to pray. And the Lord saw this little boy in his need and saved him with his salvation. And all these years since then, I've been saved and happy on the way. Watching people I have confidence in here in this church as much as anybody in my home church. And I watched you grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paul, what did he say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Yeah.
You're going to have revival? How are you going to have revival? Do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be alive for Jesus every day.
That's
be
right.
Alive. That's what the old song said. I'm going to let the pastor conclude this service. He's still got some time. This is Palm Sunday. Take your Bible, if nothing else, this week to start and see what Jesus did on Palm Sunday and then follow it right on through each day of the week up to next Sunday, the great resurrection story. And you'll get a special blessing. You'll follow it through the scriptures. There at your home, not at church. Sometimes our homes and sanctuaries we need to clean up. We need to be walking with God there that he'll come with a flaming fire, fill our house with his glory. Let every room be filled and anointed with the glory of God in our little homes. And if we'll do that and study the scriptures, you'll have a revival this week. I'm going to let Tim carry out the service like he feels like. God loves you. You pray for Shirley and I. We're just trying to be good grandparents, faithful to our call until he calls us home. Then when he does, oh, he's called us in righteousness, and he said he would hold our hand and keep us called, held, and kept. Isn't that precious? Can you find anything else any better than that? God bless you. Prayer, what a brother.
Come get a song if you would. I appreciate the gospel that we have heard this morning. What will you render to the Lord for the blessings that he's bestowed upon you? I wonder which one of us, moms and dads, that would have a child that would be sick, that we wouldn't call the doctor and let him go see him. Which one of us as parents that had a child that was sick, when the doctor prescribed medicine, that we wouldn't go have the prescription filled? Which one of us as parents, our child was hungry or thirsty, wouldn't get them something to eat or drink? I'm reminded in God's Word, and I'm not going to get started again, I don't think, Robert. One time the children of Israel had disobeyed God. And you know, I have always thought that they must have been Baptists, the children of Israel must have been, because they were always complaining and griping and whining and never could do anything to make them happy. But they began to complain. They began to whine and gripe. They asked Moses, they said, "Moses, why in the world did you bring us out of Egypt's bondage out into a wilderness?" God got displeased with them and he sent a bunch of fiery serpents. Some of you historians and scholars know that those serpents over in that part of the country, they would hide in the sand and jump out and bite someone who would walk by. Now I can just see as those serpents begin to bite the children of Israel, Moses went and prayed to God. He said, "Lord, would you forgive us? Would you just show us some way that these that have been afflicted, these that have been snake bitten, might be recovered from their illness?" Moses was a good parent, wasn't he? He was a good leader. God made a way. He said, "Moses, if you'll take a brass serpent, if you'll mold a brass serpent and hang it up on a pole," he said, "anybody that'll look upon it will be healed." What parent today wouldn't cause that child, that neighbor's child, that friend to look upon Jesus Christ? Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he said, If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." What will we render unto God this week? Will we lift high the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ? Will we point and say, "We know that you're sin sick. We know that you were born altogether in sin, just like I was. But look unto Jesus and keep your eyes on him." I don't know your heart's condition this morning. As far as I know, I can look out, and I've said this a lot of times, I couldn't tell if there's anybody here that ever been saved or not. I know that I have. But I can't look into your heart and know your heart's condition. If you're here today, if you're lost, whether you're 0 years old or whether you're 100 years old, I want you to look toward Jesus, and he'll save your soul. Would you step out from where you are today and come to this altar while we stand and sing?
542.